And welcome to everybody here on YouTube. It's Off the Hook Overtime. And hopefully we make it to YouTube. Hopefully we are actually broadcasting. And hopefully you're actually listening and maybe even calling us. Rob, did you make it okay?
I did. And Gila is also here off mic. She's in the YouTube chat doing her normal wrangling. So please tell her you hope she feels better soon.
You want me to tell her? Of course, it goes without saying.
Well, it feels better. You can, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also our friends in the chat.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, for sure. Alex, is Alex still on the phone? No? Can you tell Kyle if anyone's on the phone? Does it tell you that? No, it doesn't? Okay, well then, let's do this. Let's... We can either try to reach Alex on Skype or on the phone. Since we're going to be taking phone calls, probably Skype. That way we at least give him the chance to be a part of the conversation when he's wandering around somewhere in Bangkok, Thailand. Nobody really knows why he's doing that. And the phone is ringing. It's probably Rebel, but you know what? It's going to be Rebel no matter what, so let's just get it over with. Phone number for those of you who didn't get through this time but will get through soon, 802-321-4225. And Alex, are you joining us? Well, why do I see his face?
I'm trying to connect to him, but if you'll give me some time.
Yeah, I will. I'll give you time. Yeah, I just thought when we saw his face, that meant that we had him. But and by face, I mean his.
All right, we could narrate
the drawing of his face.
Let's narrate all of the behind.
Well, it's not a video show. People don't see what we see, so I feel it's only right to include them. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, and thank you for not being Rebel.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Yeah, I feel like Charlton Heston at the end of Planet of the Apes when he sees the Statue
yes.
of Liberty lying in a pile of rubble,
uh-huh.
and he falls to his knees and he screams, "God damn you all to hell."
Yeah,
that's exactly how I feel right now. everybody let us down.
That's got to be circulating on the Internet somewhere. I saw a picture of the Statue of Liberty with a gun to her head saying, "That's it, I'm done."
Yeah, I saw Carl Bernstein on CNN back when Trump was being tried in the second impeachment trial, and he said that in private, almost every Republican senator hated Trump's guts, and that if they could have voted by secret ballot, he would have been convicted in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first failure.
That's the epitome of cowardice. That is cowardice,
yeah.
And you will see so many examples of that, ranging from Jeff Bezos to what his fellow politicians are willing to do and willing to not do. You know, Nikki Haley, remember the horrible things he said about her and how she said he was unfit, and now she's just lined up behind him, supporting him. His own vice president, J.D. Vance, called him Hitler. And now, bygones be bygones. He would have paired up with the actual Hitler if given the chance. Would have said, yeah, you know what, it's all in the past now, but the future, that's what's ahead. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. I cannot fathom how people can say, yeah, that's the candidate for me, somebody with so little backbone.
Paired up, that's his fucking spirit animal.
By the way, we can curse on this show, by the way.
You mentioned Jeff Bezos. I got to give credit to The Economist and the Financial Times, the two British publications.
Right.
They're clearly right of center politically, but they both endorsed Harris. And they both said that Trump is erratic, he can't be trusted with power, and that Americans should vote for Kamala Harris. And they had the guts, and they're clearly conservative. But they have integrity, and they deserve credit for speaking out.
Absolutely.
And unlike the cowardly newspapers in this country.
Yeah, they would have been the first people we would thank had it gone the other way, I think.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, think of all the people that worked with Trump or were near him and warned us, tried to warn us, who are part of his party. And, you know, basically paid a tremendous price for that. If they were elected officials, they probably got knocked out because of that. And to have the American people just disregard those warnings from people who know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, good Lord, it makes me question democracy. Is it really a wise idea? You know, it's like the people who comment after somebody researches a news story and pours their heart into it, to have somebody dismiss it all with one sentence and the first comment, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. kind of feeling the same thing here, where people who don't know what they're talking about are making decisions that are really going to come back and hurt us all in the end. And again, I'd love to be proven wrong, but boy, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I can't believe there are so many suckers. I mean, Trump, and he lied throughout the campaign. He made up the story about the Haitians eating pets, and when he was proven wrong, he just said, well, that's what I hear people saying. I mean, I don't want a president who says, well, that's what I'm hearing on the news, and then doesn't have the integrity to admit that he was wrong. So we're screwed. We're screwed for the next 4 years.
Caller, going back to some of the technical questions, I think what is front of mind, I would just ask you, since you're here with us, what technically, what kinds of things are you going to be working on, or do you think technically will need attention? Maybe you don't have a solution for it, but what's an area of technology, of hacking, of your own idea or sense of security? What do you think will need attention or will be vulnerable?
Well, I'm concerned about net neutrality and the deep fakes. I mean, you know, because I know Trump, obviously, he probably doesn't know what net neutrality is. If you asked him, he probably wouldn't have a clue. But I'm obviously concerned about that.
Yeah, and if it's not there, what will you do? And I think that's the question. What are you going to do? You know, what are people doing and thinking about doing in light of some of the changes that might be ahead?
Trying to look at nonprofit journalism, because as you said before, a lot of the mainstream media are cowards. So I think resources like ProPublica, they do very good journalism. So I think seeking out sources like that over the next few years, because I'm sure Trump will try to crack down very severely on the media,
yeah, but, you know,
I believe, is threat.
I'm not really in favor of dismissing all mass media, period, because look at what Trump has recently done. He recently said that CBS should lose its license because he didn't like the way they aired an interview that he wasn't even in. And first of all, you know, we need these big broadcast networks and talk shows with millions of followers if they're going to do a good job. If they do a bad job, we call them out on that. If they do a good job, we don't say, oh, well, because you're part of the mass media, we're not going to even count you. No, we need that. We need those people.
No, I agree with you.
And just to address what he was demanding, that they lose their license, the idiot doesn't even know that broadcast networks don't need licenses. The stations are what have licenses. I can't believe I have to say this, but it's the broadcast stations that have licenses through the FCC, not the network. And that you could just make a network out of anything you want. It's not an FCC issue. Same thing with cable channels. They're not beholden to the FCC. A cable channel can curse up a storm, and the FCC can't do anything about it. Their sponsors might, and that's why they don't do it. But this is something, you know, this basic bit of information Trump does not even understand. How the hell is he going to handle the global political situation? It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
You know, the New York Times had a front page story a few weeks ago, and they said that most of his voters don't believe his rhetoric. And like what you said about taking the license away from CBS, they said it's just talk. He wouldn't actually act on that.
Yeah, I think
so they just think he's making it up.
There's going to be a moment, I think, where there's going to be a separation of some of those comments, what was part of the campaign trail and what actually has a sliver of policy or other kinds of vendetta, whatever their actions are, whatever moves are made, that kind of thing behind it. You have to separate some of that out from the intervening period, and I think some of that stuff will emerge, and people are going to have to make those things undesirable targets.
Alex, over in Thailand, did you have anything to pitch into this conversation? I see you're in a car still.
Yeah, I am. I'm in a car. I'm in traffic. There seems to be a lot of traffic heading into Bangkok.
Bangkok traffic is world renowned for being some of the worst traffic. I hope you pack several meals because you could be there until tomorrow, and that's tomorrow your time, not our time.
That's one of the things I wanted to address is that I feel like I lost a day of mourning or something here because I left on Tuesday, everybody found out, I'm guessing around, you know, late Tuesday night or early Wednesday, very, very early Wednesday morning.
Right.
I think around 3 a.m. is when Trump had called it. But I've been traveling and traveling and then just sat in the Doha airport for a while at the lounge, and now I'm here in Bangkok, and it's Thursday.
Wait, so you left on Tuesday. You left on Tuesday, now it's Thursday. Yeah, you skipped Wednesday. What, the best day of the year to skip? Absolutely.
That's right, yeah. So I skipped that day. I skipped that whole day of mourning, and now I'm here across the world. That's weird. One of the things that I was thinking of is, you know, I went out Tuesday morning early to my local polling place in the West Village, which is actually the LGBT center on 13th Street between 7th and 8th. And yeah, I felt like I usually did. There I took my kids with me and my dog, and they all got stickers. They got the future voter stickers. We put the stickers on the dog about voting. And I had my I voted sticker on since Tuesday morning. And then when the results came in and we're in the airport and on the plane, and I still have the sticker that indicates I voted in the United States. And I have to say, you know, it was almost embarrassing, because I felt like people are going to assume that I voted the wrong way. When you have the American flag and an I voted sticker on you, and you look at that result, people are probably going to assume that you might have been part of that majority.
Well, it's a 50-50 chance. I mean, you know, you're on the plane there. You're the one with the I voted sticker from the USA, so the odds are 1 in 2 that you voted for something really bad, whereas everybody else didn't vote at all because they're from somewhere else.
Yeah, so I felt like, wow, I should probably take the sticker off, because I don't know how people are going to react to it, you know, either in Qatar or here in Thailand. But it's it was a weird feeling. It was a very strange, very, very strange feeling.
And when you just went through customs and you showed your passport to the customs agent, did you tell me that she was clucking her tongue at you as if saying shame, or was that just something I made up?
Yeah. If only my customs agent was a very no-nonsense female who wanted me in and out of there rather quickly.
See, I guessed that right. And, I guessed that right.
Yeah, you could. Yep, you did. But now nobody said anything to me about it yet, but I'm sure everyone's thinking it. I really don't even know what else to say about this, but I do feel a little bit isolated, a little bit distanced from everybody, because, you know, it really was such a community thing back in 2016 when he was first elected. But I think when we think back to 2016, and this is really what gives me pause and gives me some great concern here, is that Trump back then was a bit of a joke, just came out of nowhere. Nobody really understood how he won and everyone assumed that going into election night that Hillary Clinton would take it. But now we're dealing with a Trump who's not necessarily somebody who is still a novice when it comes to politics. This is somebody who has gone through now 3 presidential campaigns and had run an entire presidential administration. So he's very experienced. I think that there are very few people in the history of the United States who can claim the title of having run 3 presidential campaigns. And so I think that this new election comes with a level of competence and knowledge about how the system works that we did not have in the past. That should give us more pause and more reason to resist and to organize.
You know, Alex, what you said before about his followers not believing the things that he said, not believing that he's going to do the things he says he's going to do. Keep in mind, in 2016... there were adults in the room. There, you know, there were the Kellys. There were a handful of people that stood up to him. Even John Bolton, who I thought was a lunatic myself, until I realized, wow, the guy does know what he's talking about and realizes that Trump is an idiot, stood up to him, prevented him from doing insanely irresponsible things with our nation's military and God knows what else. And those people are not going to be there this time. Instead, there are going to be Trump minions, people who will do whatever he says, no matter how irrational. And I don't think his followers, I don't think even we realize the magnitude of that. that is going to be dangerous. That could well lead to the end of many things that we take for granted. Go ahead, Rob.
I just want to relate a couple of comments from our YouTube chat. Good evening, all. A lot of good discussion going on there already. We've got a good amount of people listening. Pete says, I'm happy to spend time with you all on such a shitty day. If there's any community that gives me even the least bit of hope for the future, it's this one.
Oh, thank you so much for that. That's sweet. That definitely makes me feel a little better.
Absolutely. And Tim in Connecticut, our pal, says, I do hope nothing will be as bad as I think it might be. But we survived the last time. Just the changes this term might last my lifetime.
Again, Tim, I don't think you heard me because I said it after you said that probably. But, last time was different than this time. And God help us.
And our friend TL says, anyone else here losing their bodily autonomy come January? Tell me how I'm going to survive. Please go ahead.
You will survive, and you'll have a community behind you. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. And we have to all remember that. Alex, did you have something else you wanted to add? I want to get back to our caller. No? Okay. Caller, are you still with us?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think Pelosi and Schumer should resign because I put a lot of blame on them. They've known for years that people thought Biden was too old to run, and they sat on their hands. They waited till the last minute to pressure him out of this race. So they put Harris in a very difficult position to mount a credible campaign in 3 months. So I really put a lot of blame squarely on their shoulders.
Well, okay.
And if they had an ounce of integrity, they would resign.
Can I just stop you there, though? Because, the finger-pointing, it might make us feel better, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help the situation. Look, I thought, and I still do think that Joe Biden is mentally capable as ever. He moves a little slower, and he stumbles over words, which is nothing new. Back in July, I assumed he was going to make it to the end. It was that disastrous debate performance that got everybody to say, we have to do something about that. And I thought that might be a bit premature, but it probably was the right move. And what we got out of that was a damn good campaign and a damn good candidate, and also some vindication for Harris, who was less popular than Biden for no reason at all, just because we didn't hear enough from her. She turned out to be a fantastic candidate, and she would have been an amazing president, and I'm hoping in 4 years the same team will run again and hopefully be more in tune with more people, be able to address more issues, and be able to point to all the things that Trump has completely screwed up by then.
Yeah, well, I think she would have been an even better candidate if she had more time. That's why I think Biden should have left earlier. But like you said, we are where we are. And also, Alvin Bragg, when he indicted Trump for the Stormy Daniels case, mm-hmm. Trump's poll numbers shot up very high.
Right.
So I think that was a dumb prosecution to bring.
Okay, but you have to understand Alvin Bragg is not part of the DNC. You know, these things happen independently of each other.
But I'm just saying it was a dumb. He didn't have to bring that case, and people thought that case was illegitimate. Then all the other cases were illegitimate. So his case tainted the really important cases, like January 6th and the Georgia voter intimidation and the stolen documents.
Yeah, but how are those cases going now? One was dismissed. The others are just going to be dismissed as soon as he's president. The New York State one is the only one that he cannot pardon himself from because it's a state case, not a federal case. I don't know. I think if there's evidence of a crime, I can't believe I'm saying this, but if there's evidence of a crime, you need to go after the perp. You need to go after the person that you suspect, regardless of whether it's politically wise to do it at that particular moment or who they are or where they happen to stand, in the political scheme. And he's going to get away with everything. And if that doesn't piss people off, I don't know what will. I really don't. To see somebody it's disgusting.
Yeah, I just want to give one other movie reference, sort of a bookend to Planet of the Apes, but it's the final scene in Chinatown where the character played by John Huston gets away with the crime, and the guy tells Jack Nicholson, "Forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown." And that, I guess that's what we have to tell ourselves because Trump is getting away with it. Forget it, it's the United States of amnesia, basically.
That's a good comeback. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's true.
All right. Well, you guys have a great night and good luck over the next 4 years. And I hope, if possible, we get all get sent to the same internment camp. So have a good night.
We'll be sure to burn it down if we do. That's positive thinking for you right there. 802-321-4225. Look, we're gonna get through this because we're going to be together and we're going to back each other up. I know no one wants to hear that right now, but we don't have a choice, okay? We can't just succumb to this evil. And I think, you know, he will do himself in before anyone else gets to. So it's just really... I'm at a loss for words. Good evening. You're on Offlook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hey, what's up?
I'm reeling from all this just like everybody else, but I think everybody's kind of missing the lesson of history here. This is just history repeating itself. You know, I've studied the Holocaust, and the primary reason that happened was because of Joseph Goebbels. The most important quote in all of modern history is what he said.
Right.
If you tell an outrageous lie publicly often enough and long enough that people come to believe it. Now, Rupert Murdoch's been at this for 30 years, and his outrageous lie, of course, is that under all circumstances, no matter what, Republicans are great, and under all circumstances, no matter what, Democrats are bad. Now, he's been at this for 30 years. He's got a cult of 100 million people that believe this. There's no amount of logic, there's no amount of reason that's going to undo this. The only way forward is to stop these lies, to stop this, you know, this propaganda. We need laws to protect the American people from this kind of Nazi playbook that has been going on for 30 years. This is the result of it. The Democrats have been sitting on their asses letting this happen. It's ridiculous.
Well, what do you think they could have done differently?
We need laws and broadcasts. If you broadcast electronically to, let's say, 5,000 more people, okay, you have to tell the truth. You just can't make up lies and deceive people. I mean, that's what's going on. You know, I got friends. They're intelligent people. They're good, decent, moral people. But if they turn on these channels, they're only human. They're just brainwashed into believing this is the right thing.
Well, it gets a little tricky, though, because how do you determine what is truth and what is not? There's nuance. There's all kinds of, you know, opinions
Canada has a truth in news broadcasting law. You know, Rupert Murdoch tried to start his Fox News Canada, and the regulators looked at him, his application, and said, no, you don't qualify. It's just that simple. We just simply need laws to protect the people. It's not the people. It's not. We're only human. You know. Trump can say 99% batshit crazy, but they're not hearing this. Fox is just cherry picking that 1%. They're just brainwashed. They're only human.
Right.
And if you don't get down to the source of this, I don't see the way out. I really don't.
Well, you see, the thing is...
This is history repeating itself.
We're dealing with cult-like behavior here. So if you were to say, okay, you're no longer on this platform because you're lying, you're being fined because you're lying, somehow that brings Trump's numbers up. If you charge him with a crime, his numbers go up. If you put him in prison, his numbers go up. You know, it's no matter what, if you do anything against him, right or wrong, his numbers go up. How do you fight that?
No, you need to get to the source, and as long as broadcasters in this country, you know, whether it's on cable or over the air, as long as they're allowed to spout propaganda lies, okay, if you don't go to the source, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or somebody else, you know, that's why it seems to look to me like people can't understand, how could this person vote for Trump? Well, they've been hearing propaganda lies for 30 years. They're only human. Okay? You need to get to the source. I don't think it's that difficult. If of course, all of mass media is owned by of 1%, corporations, and they control it.
Would this only...
The most powerful force ever created
in
all of human history is an individual, a small group of individuals can electronically communicate to millions of people. That's the most powerful force ever created. It has to have some limits, some control.
But would you extend this to include smaller media as well, like our radio station, for instance, or other media outlets like social media? Would you extend it to those?
Anybody that broadcasts to a significant amount of people on a regular basis, however, should have limits. You know, the news organizations, the FCC, after a broadcast, they can go in and say, okay, where did you get this information? You know, they can't just make stuff up.
Well, first of all, you bring up Fox News. Fox News is not a broadcast outlet. The FCC has no control over them at all. So it would have to be some other entity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We need laws to include, cable.
I don't know. I agree with your spirit. I think this would backfire. I think more people would, again, support the person who was being pointed at for quote-unquote lying. I don't think that gets to the meat of the matter.
In a practical sense, of course, for this to actually happen, the Democrats would have to have both houses and the presidency and actually do something. Okay, which is up way on the future, but I think people have just sort of, they're blaming their neighbors. Like, how could you do this? It's only human. As long as this kind of thing goes on, I don't see any way out. So we need to focus on getting both houses and the presidency and change it and get some protection for the American people. Most important thing a government can do, the single most important thing, is to protect those people that can't protect themselves.
Yeah, the thing is, those people don't like that. They don't like the feeling that they're being protected from themselves or protected by the government. They're not into that. I just don't think this is going to resonate well. I think what we need to do is get at the reason why people are believing things that are demonstrably untrue. And also, what I think we should do is point that out as much as possible. And I see that on the mass media many times where they say that Trump lied about this. They use the word lie. I'm curious if they're going to continue doing that once he takes office. But just basically calling him out on every mistruth. And I think that's really the only way to identify that, because look, if you prosecute him for lying, you're also protecting him from making a fool of himself.
No.
You're protecting him from digging himself in even deeper.
No, I'm not talking about prosecuting or fining or any individual. I'm talking about the people that control broadcasters.
Okay, but how do they control his speech? How do they control what he says if they're broadcasting something he's doing at live?
I'm not talking about restricting that. I'm talking about restricting the commentary of the broadcast.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, but people can have differing opinions. People can say things that aren't necessarily true or can be proven wrong.
Fox News said... Fox News said for 8 years, Obama's going to take away your guns. Obama's going to take away your guns.
Mm-hmm. And some people thought he was going to do that. I mean, when you say this is going to happen, it's a prediction. It's not a fact. It's not saying that he did take away your guns. That's a lie.
Well, it is a lie because there's no legal mechanism for the president to take away private property like that. So it is a lie. It's an easily demonstrable lie. I think the onus is on the broadcasters to prove what they are commenting on as some basis in fact. The onus is on them.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. But thanks for your ideas.
You guys are doing a great job, and boy, we need to stick together and start some community grassroots movement and survive the next 4 years. You guys You guys are doing a great job.
All right, we'll see you in the trenches.
Thanks.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Wow, interesting ideas. I don't think that would work. You know, more restrictions on broadcasters and coming down hard on people saying the wrong thing. No, call them out on saying the wrong thing. Let them say whatever they want. I'm sick of people saying, I'm not allowed to say this, and then they say it. They go out and they say what they're supposedly not allowed to say. No, you're allowed to say whatever you want. Just like, you know, the comic who made the joke about Puerto Rico being an island of garbage. You know, saying that he's not allowed to say that. No, he said it. He was allowed to say it in Madison Square Garden. But there are consequences to saying things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, our intention is to advance discourse generally. And you do that, and is often said, with more discourse. If it's bad, the ideas are bad, you speak to it. You've used the phrase call out. But understand and know the intentions of the side that is making those kind of comments, that hate speech or advocating white supremacy, they are using that to maintain a status quo. They are not. They don't take this system seriously to sort of like enough, right? Like they're not trying to advance anything. It's simply to maintain control or power without advancing the discourse. So they don't have to say things that make sense. They can just lie because it's not a constructive use of language. They're just maintaining the status quo by misinforming, right? Or disinforming. So that's the intention that you're speaking in the face of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important distinction to have in mind.
Alex, I'm curious about your take on... Are you still in the same cab? My God. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic here. And seems like every turn leads to another choke point in traffic. I got to tell you, I mean, it's really incredible, too. So it's about a little over an hour ride, only 14 miles from the airport. And it's about 700 baht. To pay for this entire cab ride, which is just under $30.
Why didn't you stay somewhere closer to the airport?
Well, I have an event to go to at this particular hotel, and we are hosting an event. The Ethereum Name Service is hosting Friends Day in a couple of days at this hotel. So we have the whole company going to one particular place. And that's the destination to which I'm traveling right now.
If I could just say one thing, I understand that a lot of crypto bros are happy about what happened yesterday, and you might be wandering into that hornet's nest. If you see one of them or two of them, can you deck them for me, please? And say it's from me. Don't take the rap for it. But just, you know, nice. I'm not a violent person. I'm not. But sometimes, just hit them over the head with a fun book or something. Or I don't know, just whatever.
No, steal their bottles. They're popping and
pour the bottle over their heads.
Tell them we said thanks again. Yeah, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, do that thing where somebody like kneels behind them and then you push them. And I don't know. There's all kinds of things you can do. Just do something.
Well, the crypto bro issue is definitely a problem. But I will say this, though. Even though there are a lot of the people that have seen this as a one-issue election, is this going to affect my cryptocurrency holdings or not? And they made this that was the single litmus test that they used to determine a candidate. I think there are others that have taken a much more nuanced view of this, and Vitalik in particular, who I believe a few months ago wrote a post about this and cautioned people, you can't vote just on the basis of your cryptocurrency holding. That's not how you should be making political choices. So I think there are people that within this community, I think, that are also going to be very upset about this, but it is a problem. And quite frankly, the Democrats did not do themselves any favors when it came to this community, because this community really wanted to embrace the Democrats. And in fact, they donated a tremendous amount of money to Democratic candidates, SDF included. I mean, this is not a great example, right? But remember when FTX totally imploded, and you looked at the political contributions, they were primarily over to Democrats. And Democrats did a lot of interesting stuff with the money, like donated it or turned it back. I mean, it was just total disaster of a situation. But when it comes to digital assets, cryptocurrency, I think they really tried to play nicely with the Democrats. And what did they do in return? Nothing but regulation by enforcement through the SEC and abdicating more and more regulatory power to Gary Gensler as the head of the SEC. And how did Trump exploit and capitalize on this? He said that he's going to get rid of them immediately and that all of these cases, you know, they're going to toss them. So, you know, they could have approached
Just because he says something crazy like that, does that make it another option? Does that make it a legitimate option? I mean, government regulates.
No.
That's what government does. You know, it sounds like they just were a bit conservative on this, and they could have done more for sure. But to just throw out everything altogether and say it's a free-for-all, I don't think that's the answer.
Well, I think the Democrats really shot themselves in the foot, and the Biden administration in particular, in giving so much power unchecked to Gary Gensler without actually promulgating regulations. They regulated this entire digital asset industry through enforcement actions, through Wells notices, through lawsuits. And that became a very, very problematic stance to have as an administration that's trying to court not just these people as voters. As voters, they're dispersed, they're all over the place, they are, you know, decentralized by definition. You're not going to get enough crypto bros, let's say, in Ohio to carry the state. But the point that Trump was making was that I'm your guy, I'm your candidate, give me your money. And that, I think, really worked out.
Yeah, but he didn't understand what crypto was at all. He even said it looked like a con game at one point. You know, they just caught him on a good day where he said something they liked.
Well, I think what the Democrats did with this particular industry has made America a lot less competitive than many other jurisdictions around the world now when it comes to this industry. You don't see companies looking to locate or hire people in the United States very often when it comes to digital assets. And that's because of the regulation by enforcement the scheme that the Democrats had put in place with Gary Gensler and the SEC. I think that's going to change now. And you saw cryptocurrencies have a massive spike when Trump was elected. This is exactly what the crypto bros wanted. But you have to ask ourselves, you know, at the expense of what? The expense of what? So, I call it the way I see it. I think the Biden administration colossally screwed up when it comes to relations with this industry. I hope that that's going to change for the positive with the Trump administration.
Oh, I hope the opposite. I hope he completely destroys it. I really do. Just like I hope everything he touches turns to crap. That's what I hope.
I certainly hope not, because this is, you know, that would make America, again, far less competitive. I mean,
competitive is the least of our worries right now. Being alive in 4 years is probably top of the list. Okay, this guy is going to have unfettered access to the nuclear buttons and codes and all that crap. So, you know, some techno bros lose some money. Doesn't really bother me that much. It really doesn't. But, you know, I agree. We should do better. I haven't heard this being discussed to this extent. This is the most you've brought it up. And it certainly could have been a topic we talked about in years prior. Certainly could have been a topic during the Obama years, too, because crypto existed then as well. So, I don't know. I just think you're putting too much blame on the current Democrats and too much credit. I know you're not giving credit to Trump, but when we see what he actually does.
Well, I am giving credit to Trump in the manner in which he was able to exploit the missteps of the Democrats. I think he did that very, very well.
That's not hard to do.
He acquired the money.
That's not hard to do.
No, it's not.
I mean, look, and I think the Democrats did a damn good job showing all his stumbles and absurdities. It didn't matter, though. It didn't matter to his people. No matter what he did, he was either okay or even more popular as a result. So it's not a level playing field. Carl, I know you got something you wanted to say. Go ahead.
I just think it's funny hearing this from Alex because of the security implications. Like, there's an entire marketplace in these currencies supporting malware and
other malicious activity that is itself costing our society and societies around the world quite a bit. And it just seems a little odd that you can't really say anything bad about what a regulation like free environment could do. And I think that there is a lot that they're trying to look at. I don't know this industry. Maybe your proximity has you convinced of other attributes of it, but I think there is some nuance to this where, like, people who become victims that have to use these forms of currency, these are like, you know, public utilities and hospitals, that kind of stuff. Where does that fit into your opinion about it?
Well, that's mostly Bitcoin. I think what we're talking about is Bitcoin and the use of cryptocurrencies as payments for ransomware events. And
we're talking about regulation, like, right? Regulation of cryptocurrency in general. You're faulting someone with power.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I'm not talking about regulation of cryptocurrency in general. I'm talking about regulation of the entities that are working on digital assets. Let's say governance tokens. Let's talk about you know how DAOs operate. You know, these new decentralized governance models where there may be some kind of token event. These are way outside the ordinary scope of let's just say Bitcoin and Ethereum. You know, the two major digital assets or cryptocurrencies that are often used for transactions. But the manner by which the government has treated these companies and these entities and these persons that have been trading tokens or using them for governance purposes or having airdrop events and regulating all of these digital assets essentially as securities themselves, as some kind of financial instrument that can be bought and sold and traded, is what they, number one, they haven't promulgated any rules about this. They haven't given any kind of clear direction, which if you're a regulatory body like the SEC, you want to give those entities which you're regulating some kind of guidance about how you should be comporting yourself as a company or as an entity. And they haven't done that. The biggest problem that the entire industry has with the United States is Gary Gensler and the SEC's regulatory enforcement actions through litigation. And they just sue people. They issue these Wells notices and sue them one after another after another after another. Oh, and I mean, if you look at the amount of money and time and expenditure that people have put into this, it's really extraordinary that a government agency would be given this kind of latitude without being put on a leash.
Can I just ask, how does the EU handle this in comparison?
There's a couple of different ways to do it. I'm actually just getting out of the tax here, so it might not be the best way to do it. But they don't sue everybody. I mean, they don't have these types of enforcement actions one after another. I mean, they don't
Financing ventures been accused of fraud in some cases in taking people's money and then somebody disappears with it or there's like I don't know if this involves but trading some digital value and then leaving people high and dry or they just get some I mean because they're not understanding what they're investing in entirely.
And they're being hacked every other day too and not
yeah, right,
things.
Entire marketplaces.
Okay, well, Alex is getting out of a cab now.
Yeah,
so
he's gotta run.
I'll be back.
I think we have a call.
Oh my God, all this time we've had a call. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi everyone. It's Johnny Fusion checking in.
Hey, it's been a while.
Hi.
Yeah, it's been a bit. But, you know, well, shit, things didn't go how we would have preferred. And the thing is, the thing that we've got to really grapple with is that the majority of Americans want this. They actually want this because they think it'll benefit them, that they aren't going to be the ones that are going to get hurt. when you look at the exit poll data, overwhelmingly, it was white people, white men and white women, both majorities for Trump, and they make up most of the voting populace. They think they're going to be safe. Queer people overwhelmingly voted democratically. Only, I think it was like 16% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual and transgender people voted Republican. You know, this is just basically those with privilege thinking they're going to come out on top.
Yeah, and I guess they did.
Well, I mean, in the long run, they think living under turbo fascism is going to be fine for them.
Not so sure about that. I'm really not so sure. But let's see. Let's see if they do get through this okay. I think it's going to be a lot of unexpected victims here.
Yeah, a lot of face-eating leopards are going to be making new acquaintances.
Yeah, and certainly there will be not much in the way of sympathy or listening for their upset over realizing that perhaps they are still left behind.
Yeah, well, here's one thing that's important to realize. With the Republicans winning the Senate, and now Trump in the White House again, the judiciary is captured by the crypto fascists for at least a generation.
Oh, yeah. Your little orthodox, you know, madrasas you can institute across the nation. Sure, yeah, for whatever purposes, whatever aims, it's at their service.
Yeah, you know, and every right that the Supreme Court has given us since the Warren Court, based on the 14th Amendment, that's all probably going away. I mean, they already started when they overturned Roe v. Wade, right? That was the first thing to go. I believe there will be a case during Trump's presidency overturning Loving v. Virginia. Thomas will join the three liberal justices in dissent, but still have his marriage forcibly annulled.
Go ahead, Rob. You had something to say.
I'm just relaying a question from the YouTube chat for our caller. Our pal Zap asks, what has Johnny Fusion been planning? I gotta know.
Oh, well, okay, you know I've always been anti-establishment, anti-capitalist. I was going to fight no matter who won yesterday. And the real secret, well, it's not a secret, the real strategy is organizing on the community level and practicing community defense. Because I belong to some of these marginalized communities, and no one from government is going to protect us, and we're going to have to take our protection into our own hands. We're going to have to create our own networks. We're going to have to create our own lines of communication. And, well, that's pretty much it. You know, mutual aid. Mutual networks.
Can I just say, you're in California, is it?
California, yeah.
Well, I mean, you do have protection there on state and local levels, I believe, at least I hope.
We do. California is more conservative than people give it credit for.
Depends what part you're in. Depends where in California. Depends where in California you are.
It depends on where you are, but it's everywhere. I mean, we had ballot measure where we were going to finally specifically outlaw slavery, right? Outlaw slavery is, you know, where, because it still happens in the prison system legally. Because, you know, the 13th Amendment allows that.
Yeah, I heard about this. You guys voted for slavery? Yeah. What the hell's going on out there?
Right. It didn't pass.
I mean,
please,
you must have heard somebody arguing the side that keeps slavery on the books. What is their argument?
I didn't hear anything. Like, I cut the cord. I don't see ads on YouTube, so I was insulated from a lot of the political ads and stuff. So I don't know what the argument was against that measure. I mean, no one signed to get, like, on, like, you know, when you have the little voter information things, there was nothing, no one taking the position against in the voter pamphlet, yet still a majority of people said, no, let's keep slavery in the prison.
Yeah, we're not ready yet. Maybe someday. Good God. Well, that's surprising. That really, I didn't have time to even process that.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, it was Harris's race to lose. I think she made a lot of mistakes. Chief among them, not coming out against the genocide in Palestine.
Well,
10 weeks ago,
you have to understand she's part of an administration, and she can't just come out and say something that's completely contradicting that administration. What she did say, though, was that she supports a two-state solution, which is far more than what Trump has ever said or demonstrated. And, you know, that right there, that's the choice, okay? You might not like what's going on right now, and I don't like what's going on right now, but if you want to move ahead, you have to think of the future. And you know with Trump, he's just going to say wipe them all out, and Harris would at least have a conversation, which, again, you might not like the outcome of, but you have a chance. I always say vote for the chance. You know, even if it's not the best of all options, you're not going to get the best of all options. And now you got nothing.
Well, Netanyahu did announce today that he's willing to look to end the wars.
And do you actually believe him? I mean, he said things like that many times. He lies through his teeth. The guy is a war criminal.
Basically, you know, he held off until after the election, just like the hostages in Iran in 1980, like the Iran-Contra deal, right? Don't do it under the Carter administration, and Reagan gets inaugurated and the hostages come home
right
the same day.
Right. Yeah, they had such a thing about Carter that they deliberately delayed it so that Reagan would somehow get the credit for and also so that he would get elected. It was just a big middle finger. And I feel that's you know, a lot of what the left does is do that to their own side because they're more pissed at their own side than they are at what I call the true enemy, the people that want to take away their rights and do something they definitely don't want. And that's why the Trump rallies don't get interrupted. That's why, you know, people spend more time squabbling amongst themselves. So I don't know. I just think a little bit of strategizing would have helped. And that's a mistake on the voters' part, you know, of not making choice.
Well, we can call it a mistake, but again, it's what they want. Trump won the popular vote for the first time.
Yeah, he did. And I don't know why people voted for him. I guess we'll find out. But let's see if they get what they want, because I strongly doubt they will.
No, it's going to be self-serving. It's, you know, but people always think they're voting to their best interest. You know, these people think they're temporarily embarrassed billionaires and that they'll get at the top someday, instead of realizing that they're working class like the rest of us.
Yeah, you're stuck in wage slavery, okay? You're a part of all of this. You're going to substantiate all their fucking decisions, and you are to maintain the security of the state's ability to have more soldiers and more taxpayers.
Just because we can curse, Kyle, doesn't mean we have to curse all the time.
I haven't even gotten started.
That's what worries me.
Do you understand?
You get him started, it's going to be like listening to Wu-Tang.
Do you understand the restraint at play? Like, I've got nothing. They've all those groups, and then chiefly, all right, yeah, you don't want it to be infighting. Chiefly, the GOP, they've all the way lost me. And you want to talk about campaigning with the Democrats, needed to do, should have done, should have, would have, could have, all the coaching. I'm so off that right now. I cannot even hear it. I've got nothing. You've lost me. You've all the way lost me this time.
They could have had Jesus Christ, Nelson Mandela, and Mahatma Gandhi campaigning, you know, with Harris. They still would have lost because of the cult. And that's something that we have to recognize and figure out how to deal with. It's a huge danger. It really is. You know, democracy is most certainly at risk, and we'll find out exactly how next year.
Indeed. Well, it always has been at risk.
You know what I mean?
You know,
it's at risk in a darker way now.
Well, yes, but it would have been also had it gone the other way. You know, Biden continued many of Trump's fascist policies and expanded on them. We've had kids in cages the past 4 years, too, but the blue voters have been silent because it's their guy doing it.
It's not the same thing at all. Whatever you're referring to, it's not the policy that Trump had. Certainly, it's not been perfect. It's not been good. It's a crazy situation, but what he did was inhumane, and I don't think you can say the same thing about the Biden administration.
Yeah, he's going to keep any of the policies that are in place now until they want to fuck something up.
That's three, Kyle.
Seriously.
three F-bombs.
They're not going to, like, upend everything. They'll keep whatever keeps the status quo until they have their little pet projects to fuck up.
Four times now, which is the most, by the way. That's a record. All right.
It's a day for it.
You're right. It is. Yeah. No, I'm not begrudging anyone. All right. Final words here because we're gonna go. We've had a long hard day here, and in fact, Alex had a different day.
Keep your people close. Find your allies. Find your compatriots. Find your comrades, and network together.
And find new ones too, and ally yourselves with people who, you know, you might not agree with everything on, but you agree with enough on. That's the key. That's the difference.
Indeed. Well, I mean, I've said this in articles that you publish in the magazine, that the infighting is counterproductive.
Absolutely.
Like, leftists are the worst.
They are.
They can agree at 99.9% of everything policy-wise, but that 0.1% will be life or death,
right?
And they'll think that the people that differ them, that 0.1%, need to go to the gulag.
Yeah, because you're a Trotskyite, and that means you're evil. And we'll get to the people we're really fighting in a few years, but first we're going to purge you. You know, I've known people that talk that way. That's why I mock it. And I know most people on the left aren't like that. It's just the ones that speak the loudest really screw things up for so many people. And I think that's true everywhere.
Yeah, walk right the hell away from that.
Yeah.
Just don't pay that any mind.
And we also got to get away from using shame as a motivator politically.
Right. Yes. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for your call, Johnny, and best of luck to you. We'll speak again.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of articles will be coming off the keyboard in the new current environment, and I'll send them your way.
Oh, your articles, yes. I thought you meant lots of, yeah. We're going to be reading lots of articles, too. But, yes, for the magazine, absolutely. If you or anyone else wants to write for the magazine, articles@2600.com is the email address. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about the world of high tech and social issues and whatever else is relatable. Thanks again for the call.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. That's it. That's our last call for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Rob, you seem to have something else you'd like to add.
Yeah, just want to thank everyone in the YouTube chat. There's been some really intense discussion going on, not all of it directed toward us or the show, but the folks are speaking among themselves in a really, I think, important way right now. I want to just remind folks that the BAI pledge phone number is 833-WBAI-NYC. That's 833-922-4692 or buddy.wbai.org if you want to help keep us doing what we're doing on the radio station, which I think is, you know, it's a cliche to say it, but more important now than ever.
No, absolutely. Most definitely. All right, you know, this has been a tough night, tough day for a lot of people. Just know we're with you and we're here. And we count on you to be there as well. Alex, did you have any closing thoughts from Bangkok, which you seem to have stopped driving for a moment?
Yeah, that's right. I am, in case anybody's wondering, I'm out of traffic. I'm at the hotel. And it's terrible that we're closing up shop right now because my room isn't going to be ready for another 3 hours. It's 9 a.m. here Thursday morning in Bangkok. So I've got 3 hours to kill until I can sleep and take a shower. So you sure you don't want to do another 3 hours of
I am
phone call?
So certain. I've never been more certain
sure?
of anything in my life, yes.
Okay. We could do a real marathon session here.
Yeah, wouldn't that be? That would be so much.
That would be something.
Yeah. No. But next week, what's your excuse for not joining us next week?
That's a good question. No, I think I'll still be in Bangkok next week. I don't fly out until Thursday next week, so I'll be here. It'll just
what
be,
day is it now, Alex? It's Thursday.
Today is that's right.
So actually, that will be Thursday next.
Right.
So you're going to be flying during our show, right? Because that's how you schedule it.
well, let's see. I mean, I will tell you, the internet connection during the flight wasn't ideal. It was supposedly a lot better on the airline that I was using, but I don't think it was. I think I should be able to make it next week because I don't think I'm flying out until the afternoon.
Okay, all right.
So it should be okay. Yeah, I'll have to double check. But
it's currently 12 hours ahead of us, so you're 9 in the morning on Thursday.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Hopefully we get
enjoy Wednesday evening.
Yeah, hopefully we get a Thursday too at some point. We'll see about that. Okay, so we're going to sign off now from YouTube. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of this. Write to us, oth@2600.com. We will see you next week on WBAI at 7 and on YouTube at 8. Good night.